Today we begin the exciting sugya of Binyan and Stira B'Kelim. And this is quite a launching pad. We have a bunch of gemaras that we just need to just point out before we begin to see the different shitas that are shown. And really today is a launch. Today is a launch of the sugya and some really important fundamental points as far as the sugya is concerned. It will be kedai to have a Gemara Shabbos with you, because the Gemaras and Shabbos are not photocopied. But in your booklet, we have two important Gemaras from the Sefes Beitza. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis and Beitza tells us, Beishame Orim Ein Mesachner Shatris and Biyantif, Beisilo Matirin Af Lahatsir, that Beisilo allows an individual to return the shutters on Yom Tov. Now, ultimately, the Gemara says, a very interesting idea, the Tiru Sofan Mishum Tfilasa, that if we're not going to allow people to close their shutters on Yom Tov, they're not going to open up the house, the stores in the first place, and people will not be able to get food for Yom Tov. So we're dealing with some type of heter of Ochel Nefesh in regards to Yom Tov. That's the Gemara's ultimate shot. But the Gemara suggests initially that machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is a machlokis of Ein Binyan B'Kelim and Ein Stira B'Kelim. The fundamental question being whether the rules of Bona, the Isser of building something, which is one of the 39 Melachos, does that apply to utensils? And since Bona and Stira are two sides of the same coin, just like Koreh and Topher are, so once we say Ein Binyan B'Kelim, so we would say Ein Stira B'Kelim as well. Ultimately, the Gemara rejects that shot, but you already see that the Gemara already thinks that the Tanoim are arguing about this issue. You move a little bit further in Masechta Beitza, you do 10 days later in the Daf Yomi, and then you see the Gemara also attempts again this pshat, the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And here, the Gemara sticks with it. The Gemara talks about straightening out a menorah. Ein zeikfines a menorah. You're not allowed to straighten out a menorah, but there the Gemara again tells us that is a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rav Chinuna bar Bisna, Chafbeza Med Aleph in Beitza says it's a menorah of chulios that has different parts, and you put them together. And Beis Shammai says that it looks like bonet because he holds Yesh Binyan Kelim, and Beis Hillel says Ein Binyan B'Kelim. Taisus in Dibra Masl, U Beis Hillel is going to point out that rule is not absolute, and Tosis is going to reiterate his position in quite a few places in Shas, that even though Beis Hillel says Ein Binyan B'Kelim, and we see, of course, we follow the Shita of Beis Hillel, there are going to be limitations to that rule, and that is going to be within the Rishonim. When one moves on to Masechta Shabbos, so in our Gemara, there's a fascinating Gemara on the Kuf Beis on the Beis. In many ways, I wish we'd be learning Perek Habona, because that Gemara, there's so much to say on the Gemara itself. A triple machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, and what exactly is behind that machlokus, Rav and Shmuel. But here the Gemara speaks about the following. The Gemara speaks about putting Ayil Shufsa B'Kipina Demara, a person that puts a hoe into its socket. You attach the hoe from one piece to another. So Rav Amar Mishum Bonet, Ushmuel Amar Mishum Makil Patish. Rav says that the Yisr is going to be an Yisr of Bonet, that putting it together is Bonet. So Tosis points out that this Gemara itself seems to contradict a rule that we have, that we learned in Beitza, and that is the rule of Ein Binyan B'Kelim. That's one problem that we have. On the other hand, we have a Mishnah that we spoke about on Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. When talking about Korea, we made reference to a Mishnah as well that's talking about breaking a barrel. And there the Mishnah says, Shover Adam Esachavis Lechol Imenu Grogeris. There the Mishnah says that you're allowed to break a barrel. So on the one hand, we have Rav, who says that when it comes to making the hoe, that's going to be the Isra Bonet, despite the fact that we have a rule of Ein Binyan B'Kelim. On the other hand, we have a Mishnah that says that you could break the barrel. More pointedly to that Mishnah is the sugyan Erevin on Daf Lamed Dalid Amud Beis. The Gemara in Erevin on Daf Lamed Dalid Amud Beis says that there is an Erev that is in a migdal, in some type of tower. So then in such a case, the Eruv, if it's a migdal that is strong and sturdy, then in such a case, the Eruv is considered inaccessible to the individual. Now, the Rishonim point out, wait a second, why don't we say Ein Stira B'Kelim and just knock down that migdal? Now, that migdal we're not talking about is a migdal of a, we're not talking about a Buckingham Palace tower. We're talking about what the Gemara means is this large contraption. And nevertheless, the Gemara seems to say that there's a problem that you can't knock it down. So the question is that why don't we say, no, Ein Binyan V'Ein Stira B'Kelim. One more Gemara that Rashi makes a big deal about. The Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amud Beis talks about an individual who makes a barrel, constructs a barrel on Shabbos. And the Gemara lists how many Isurim the fellow is over by making the barrel. And Rashi says that in that case, you'll be over the Isur of Makah B'Patish, but you can't be over the Isur of Boneh because Ein Binyan B'Kelim. So Rashi is quite explicit that Rashi takes the Gemara in Beitza literally, that we go Ad HaSof Ein Binyan B'Kelim. Of course, according to Rashi, we're going to need to work hard to understand the din of Haiman de Ayel Shufsa the Pina de Mara. So this is a summary of all of the Gemaras. Each one of these Gemaras are entitled to a tremendous amount of iyun. And now we have to see how the Rishonim themselves, there will be three mahalchim that we're going to discuss within the Rishonim of how to deal with this issue. Of course, the Rambam is in a world by himself. There is Torah within the Rambam. But in terms of within the classic post in the Torah Beis Yosef, there are really three strains of thought. And that, the Siyata D'Shemayah, is what we're going to look at. So, the most extreme approach is, as we mentioned, the Shita of Rashi. That Rashi on Ayin Dalet on the Beis, as well as Rashi on Kuf Chav Beis on the Beis, Dibra Maskel Gzeira, Rashi is consistent throughout Shas. Rashi says that when it comes to the Halacha L'maisa, there we paskin ain't binyan stira b'kelim at all. And any case that you're concerned that a person is going to be over for building a kli, Rashi says that concern is makeh b'patish. That's what Rashi says in a famous Gemara on Kuf Chav Beis Amud Beis, the Ramasul Gzera Shema Yitaka, that there is a famous chash that we're going to discuss in later shiurim, and that is that a person can't put together a kli that has the potential to be screwed together. This comes up very much halacha l'maisa. We'll see later on that the biggest problem of attaching kalim is screwing them together, because here the Gemara says the Feirish that it is aser, and Rashi says what will be the iser if you do tkiya b'kelim. Rashi says that that's makah b'patish. So Rashi expands makah b'patish, even though you could have said that you're building a kli, but Rashi is stuck. Rashi already said it. Ayin dalet amud beis ain't bini mistira b'kelim. Bang. What we have to say is that the issue is an entirely different issue, and that is makah b'patish. It could very well be that what Rashi is doing, going back to Kuf Beis on the base, is that Rashi is taking sides in the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. That Rashi is saying, I've got to abandon Rav. In other words, Rav, who says that by putting the whole together, that's going to be boneh, at the end of the day, it could very well be that we paskin that it's Makeh Papish. I told you have to work on the Rambam. So the Rambam requires a lot of work, but we're leaving the Rambam for now in terms of the Halacha L'maisa. But that might very well be how Rashi works. Tosis and the Ramban go in a different direction. Tosis and the Ramban go in two different directions. So we'll have three different approaches. One of the Bali Tosis, one of the Ramban and his Talmidim. The Rajba follows it in a beautiful way. And then of course, the Shita of Rashi. So Tosis and Dibra HaMaskel, Kuf Beis on Beis, Haiman Da'el Shufsa B'Kipina D'Mara, as well as Taisan Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, as well as Taisus in Erevin, as well as in almost all the places. I mentioned to you Taisus in Beitza Chav Beis. So Tosis asks, on the Shita of Rav, he's not willing to give up on Rav. Tosa says, "I forgot the kaimelin ain't binyan bekelim." Omeri dahaynu dafka b'hachzoris batei trisno b'menorah shalfulius. Avo binyan gomor mechayev bekelim kemo bekarka. Tosa says that if you're doing a binyan gomor, so then in such a case, then you'd be chayev when it comes to kelim. Tosa is mechalek between a binyan that is what he calls a binyan gomor versus versus a case in where it's not a binyan gomer. How does Tosas define what means binyan gomer? So here, Tosas has a cryptic language. So again, Tosas is saying, when did we say ein binyan bekelim? That meant if you're adding a couple parts to the menorah, you're adding to a kli. So then, in such a case, then that's when Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were arguing. When you're opening and closing trisin, possibly that's where they were arguing. But if you're making a full kli, says Tosas, a binyan gomor, then you're going to be chayv. What's the pshat? Very simple. That just like binyan bekarka is considered a full binyan, so too, if you put together a kli, it's a full binyan. However, if you're adding a little piece to a kli, so then in such a case, that doesn't resemble binyan bekarka. It has to resemble binyan karka to be considered binyan bekelim. And therefore, Tosa says in Dibra Maskel Haiman, about 10 lines in, Ve'ein chiluk ben kelim lekarka. There's no distinction between kelim and karka. El v'makom she'ein chizuk v'umnus. Very vague lashon. Tosa says that you need to have makom chizuk v'umnus, and if you don't have chizuk v'umnus, so then in such a case, you're not going to have binyan and stira bekelim. This is Tosas Lashon. You need chizuk v'umnus. Now, the Ramban and the Rajba, for many years, I had a hard time distinguishing between the world of the Ramban and the world of Tosas. And Mirtz Hashem, today we'll see it. The Ramban and the Rajba go further. They have a brilliant deal that, as far as I know, Tosas nowhere in Shas makes it. Before we go on Ramban and Rajba, Tosas in Beitz on Fafez Amin Aleph says the same thing as well. He asks the kasha, the intomar, Baba Mishabis, Menorah Shalfulius, Kuleam lo pligi de Asr. So Tosas first suggests maybe a possible chiluk between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then Tosas says, Inami Yeshlomar, the Hasa Mairi Shekula Shalfulius, Mefarkin Osa Evarim Avarim. Over there, you're making a kli that has been entirely separated. And then you're making what Tosas had said, a chizuk v'umnis. Avohafa, but in Beitza, Mayrikan, Shein, Chasakan, Rakla, Kimak, Tzas. All you have to do is to prop it up a little. So that doesn't resemble Binyan, and that's what the Mesechus Beitza is talking about. Obviously, Tosas and Rashi are worlds apart. Okay. Now, Ramban and Rajba are closer. I chose in previous years the Rajba, but I would also encourage you to take a look at the Grand Rebbe at the Ramban. The Rajba is on the same sugya that we saw with Tesis on Kuf Beis and Beis. The Rajba in Dibra Asal Haiman says, Ikal Ameda, Ha'ein Binyan Bekelim, Kedarmina V'Sheini DeBeitza. V'yesh Mefarshin. Now, notice this formulation. You know what? Let me tell you the Lamdas first. That's such a beautiful deal. Says the Ramban, the Lashon HaGemara is Ein Binyan Bekelim. There's no Binyan with Kelim. In other words, you have a kli, and you're being bonet to it. Says the Rajba and the Ramban, balasos kli lechatchila. It's ein binyan bikelim. But asiyas kli there is. Now, again, that sounds similar to Tosos, but we're going to argue today that it's a little bit of a different thing. Now, back into the Rajba's words, let me just read straight. V'yesha farshin, v'achyam yein binyan simikelim, hanim bili bikli shen esparik yom menor sholfuli, so v'yashar beisol. Avolasos kli lechatchila ein lecha binyan gadol mizeh ve'ein ze nikra binyan bekelim sharei eino kli ela oisikli. Oisikli is awesome. What the Gemara is describing was something that you had already as a kli when the Gemara said ein binyan bekelim. Again, Rashi is going to say you're being too fancy in the Gemara. Bekelim doesn't mean whether kli exists or not. There's no binyan when it comes to kelim. And therefore, Rashi is going to say that every sugi, you're going to have to explain, the halacha is based on the idea of makir v'patish. Now, I always noticed that Tosfos didn't use exactly the formulation of the Ramban, and he does use this vague lashon of chizuk v'umnus, and that requires a little bit more explanation. What is this idea of chizuk v'umnus? But I couldn't nail down exactly what is the nafkamina between the two. However, I found that this fantastic sefer I mentioned to you to the past, Binyan Shabbos, that he has a nafkamina. And his nafkamina is as follows. According to Tosos, if you do something that requires not just simply propping up, but you do something that needs chizuk v'umnos, even if you didn't do asiyas klim b'tchilah, so it could very well be that it's going to be asur. However, the Ramban, the one who said, and the Rajba, the one who said that the definition is asiyas klim b'tchilah, so it's only if that kli didn't exist at all. Take a look at page Lama Gimel in the Sefer Binyan Shabbos in your booklet. V'nir dikan afkamin gdol ben shnei atan. V'hu kishem mosif chelik l'kli shekfar kayam. B'gvura v'umnus. If it requires umnus, then in such a case, not going to follow as binyan mikelim. The shnia kol shalos a binyan gomer v'chazet chay mishem bonim ve'ein ze mishanet klal mosam b'tchila. Okay, and therefore he says the divrei Ramban mefuor shekasa chay rak b'ofen shehisparik legamri. So the diuk that we made in Tosfos is legitimate, and really Tosfos and the Ramban are going to be different. Tosfos uses lashon chizuk v'umnus, where Tosfos is differentiating between something that was just taking something that was flimsy and strengthening it a little, but not that there was any type of chizuk v'umnus that was being done. In contrast to the Ramban and the Rajba seem to be saying that you need to do asiyas kli mitchilaso in order to be chayiv. So that is the difference between the world of the Bali Tosfos and the world of the Ramban v'Talmidav. Yes, Mati.
So, Rav, in this kind of, first of all, umnus doesn't mean like technical artisanship, it just means...
That's a good question. That's a good question. How far do you define the word umnus? We leave that as an open question.
The Ran used it pretty literally.
The Ran understood it as
literally. If you can't put it together because you're not a handyman, then it's considered boner.
That,
and he used the word umnus.
Right, and he was going, and he's one of the Talmidim of the Ramban. Right, he took. Right. So he talks about it.
If you want, yeah. If you, I mean, you can take a look at it.
Right. The Ran. You're talking about the Ran Kufman Vav.
No,
Kuf Beis. Oh, okay. That rhyme I only saw in the summer.
He spelled it out really clearly.
Okay,
let's
take a look.
Machu,
yeah, sure. Yeshon, the Chiyam Yerach, Hanan in the Klish, and Sparagam, Norshal, Police, I've also claimed Chilos, and we'll have the Mikrim, the Chayim Shambona, so his mom is following the Grand Rebbe, the Tzarech Bechazarasa. Right, here, the Ramban and his Talmidim are assuming that the role of the Uman is to recreate the Kli, to make it, put it together again. So, that only really heightens the problem, Ellie. In other words, according to Tosos, what would the difference? That if the Binyan Shabbos is right, that Tosfos would hold that you're chayiv even if you don't have klim mitchilaso, so then what is the definition of uman? That's what Mati's question is. Within the Bali Tosfos, how do you define uman?
So I was saying if you need a artisanship to put it together, right, then it's boner.
Right.
So that's what the Ran is saying also.
And so wait, but Tosfos, you would say that the only time is you mamish need an uman. Chizuk uman?
Chizuk uman.
Right. Okay.
We just have to
check the other. I hear what you're saying. Either way, the nafkamina you're agreeing with. There's a kasha on the Binyan Shabbos from Tosfos Ayin Dalet. Tosfos says on Ayin Dalet. Tosfos says v'sho'os legami kol akli. But I don't know if that's a strong kasha.
I wouldn't connect Tosfos to the Ran. I mean, the Ran says klishim esbag v'tzorch uman.
Agreed.
Chazaraso and the need umanus put it together.
The Ran's in the Ramban's. Misora, for sure. No, I was just saying, how do we, because he's in a different camp, Mati's question is, how do you define umnus according to Tosfos? I would prefer to leave that vague. I don't have enough information to be able to answer that question. Okay, so these are the three groups. Yes?
Rabbi Zanat has no problem with the Bechazaroso in the Ran, to keep it in the Rabban's camp. You know, that's still
be, right.
That's still
be in other words, the point is that when you took it apart...
That's still be mitzvah.
Exactly. Why? You know,
because it was zero.
If you take it apart, it becomes zero. Yeah. Correct. That's how I would read. An important nafkamina, Rabosai, between... And we're going to come back to this probably down the line. You keep this in mind, is that another nafkamina between Rashi and the other Rishonim is the following. Rashi said that the only time you're going to find, again, assuming our read of Rashi is correct, that the only time that you're going to find the Isser by Kalim is for Makkah B'Papish. So then, according to Rashi, would you ever have Stira B'Kalim, Rabosai?
No.
You would never have Stira B'Kalim. If you took apart the hoe, so there's no such thing as stiras makkah v'patish. There is something called stiras bonin. So this would be a nafkamina. Again, the Binyan Shabbos points this out very astutely on page Lamed Beis, that this would be the nafkamina between Rashi and the other Rishon. Another afron from the Grus Kolo, Rav Mati Stern wrote an article when he was, he showed it to me when he was learning with us in the Kolo Hilchos Shabbos last time around. So he wrote an article on Shitas Rashi, and there he tries, if you remember, I challenged you guys. He stepped up to the challenge. So I challenge you guys to, how could you defend Rashi's Shita from the Ran's Kasha? Rashi says, Ein b'mekalkel, there's no Isser of Mekalkel, Rashi said, on Shovar Adam Esachavis. That's a heavy question. Well, how could Rashi say such a thing? So he develops every nuance in the Ran and Kuf Mem Vav, where the Ran challenges, and then he develops, as you said, the Rebelli, the Ramban sheet that he also has in Kuf Mem Vav. So over there, again, Ramati developed a lot more within the Ran, but he makes reference to the fact that the Chassam Sofer puts together the Ein Mekalkel of Rashi with the Din of Ein Binyan Mesir B'Kelim. That when Rashi says that there is no Isser Mekalkel on Shabbos, Rashi didn't mean that there is no Isser Kilkel, as Iran asks, but Rashi is echoing his Shita of Ein Binyan Mesir B'Kelim. So that's the Shita. Samsa, you want to add, Ravari?
No, I was going to say that Mahala.
Yes.
As I quoted in the footnotes, and I think either Rashi or the Ran.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes, Rashi said it's Mekalkel's not an Isser Darbon when it's not Ben Yibel Achim Darbon.
Right. So, Ramati develops that the Ran is aware of that being Rashi's Cheshvan, and Afal Pike, if you look at the, he goes on, and he proves that there is Binyan Mesir B'Kelim. So, I have Ramati's article that he wrote about it, and he claims that even the Ran is aware, and that's what the Ran is doing when the Ran segues to Binyan Mesir B'Kelim, that he's really rejecting Shitas Rashi, and there are a lot of beautiful nuances there. Okay, so this Rabosai is the Gemara and the Rishon. Okay, now, how do we paskin lahalacha? So let's take a look. Let's read Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yud Dalid Aleph. So in Shulchan Aruch, you tell me, you're going to tell me. Says the Mechaber, Ein binyan esir v'kelim, v'hani nili she'ein binyan mamish, kegoin chavis. I'm going to skip the Ramah right now, because I'm going to ask you how to explain the Ramah shortly. Kegon chavis, shenishbura v'dibek shvareha b'zefes. Yochol l'shaber likach mashal b'sofa. So the Shulchan Aruch, when he speaks about breaking a kli, he introduces a kli that we call a mustaki. And this is the shita of the Balei Tosos. The Balei Tosos who get into the problem that they hold there is binyan stira b'kelim. So that's so. We never answer the question of Shaver Adam Chavis. How can you break the Chavis? Because at the end of the day, that should be subject to Stira B'Kalim. Comes along the Balei Tosos on Kuf Mem Vav, and in Beitza, and in Erevin, and Tosos says, Mustaki, a very, very important term. A term that we're going to constantly come back to. And that is, we're talking about a Kli that's already a Kli Ru'ua, And therefore, since it's a kli ru'ua, so then in such a case, it's not subject to the din of stira b'kelim. That's how many Rishonim explain. As well as most people, when they break it, don't want to make a neck of yafeh. So the Mechaber says, and therefore he's passing like Tosos, that yachol in such a case, when we say shavah adam as a chavis, so that is if it's a chavis shenishbara, it was a broken chavis, a mustaki, v'dibek shvareh b'zefes yachol shavah nikat mashav v'selcha uvelvad shlo yichavim l'nok v'nek of yafeh shel pesach din kein avalei misaki mona avalei mishlema also v'shabra. So the Gra points out, take a look, it's a long Gra. And the Gra points out that, of course, Rashi would not agree with the Shulchan Aruch. Rashi, as we said, there's no problem with Stira B'Kelim, and the Gra is Ma'arich, that is going to be, that the Mechaber is going like the Bali Tosfos. Beautiful. Okay, so that's the basic psak of the Mechaber. Now here, the Ramah adds a couple of words. And I always had a hard time reading these words in the Ramah, so let's make sense of it. If you're not reading it carefully with the Achronim, it could be very vague. So the Ramah adds a couple words. Eidin Yisrib Yikam, V'hanim Yishen Yidin Yimamish Kigon Chavis. And Ramah adds, She'ena Matzekes Arba Imsa. If it has to be a barrel that's not holding 40 sa. So this is the position of the Ramah. The Ran holds that you're not going to have an Isser of Binyan B'Kalim if we're talking about a Kli that's not Machzik Arba'im Sa'. Where does the Ran say this? So the Ran says this in our favorite Ran on the Sugya, the Ran that we just made reference to before, the Ran on Kuf Mem Vav. Let's take a look, let's all do it inside. Let's take a look at the Ran, where the Ran says this. Zok the Heiliger Ran. We did the first part of the Ran. Let's just do it again for Chazar's sake. It's on the standard editions 122 in the Daptim of the Rif, Kuf Mem Vav, Shmasisan, which would be Samach Aleph on the base in the old editions. Shovar Adam Chavis Lechem Men Grogus Pirush Rashi Dei Mekalkel Shem Mister Shabbos. We'll only hear it. We call him Mekalkel Turin Asurin Mia. Ika, mi surim, excuse me, the kol mekalkel turin, isur mi ika, elahayim taima, v'kimi ba'alma mekalkel pata rasa, hacha mishum tzarek shabbos shari lechatchila, if it's tzarek shabbos, then it's mutter. Miu ki sharia, dafka v'kli gotan. Oh, so comes along the Ran, and the Ran answers the problem from Erevin in a different way. And he says, when do we say that there's not a problem of binyan in stira b'kelim, that's only by a kli katan? We asked the Gemara, and Erevin told us that when it comes to a migdal, it's a problem. You can't break it on Shabbos. The ehub b'makom echad, the ruva b'makom acher. Says the lo shach be binyan stira b'kli gadol loy. When do we say that there's no binyan stira b'kelim? We're talking about kli katan v'araya, as I just spelled out. The damar be'Erevin nasu b'migdal v'ibed amafteach. Eruve Erev, Rebbe Lazar Amar Emeni, Yidu Hashem Hatoch, Kame Ein Eruve Erev, Lukumin Puk the Migdal Shel Eitz, Dikatim Mitzno, Vayi Sakim Mitzke. If it's a contraption of wood, and you got to bust it open, Rabban and Savri Kal Kelem Nitl and Tzarek Gufan, you're allowed to take a knife to break it open, Rebbe Lazar Savri Kar B'Yilchen, Dom Ein Kli Nitl. Halav Ach, Yafu Rabban and Moda, Dein Eruve Erev. But if there's no way to open up the lock with a knife, and the only way to do it is to bust it open, so then in such a case, then you'll be a problem of binyan stirikan. Any time Mishum Dasim Migdal Gadol Askinan, Dahave Ka Oel, V'shayich Bei Binyan Mistira. Migdal Katan Lo Shayich Bei Binyan Mistira. So Migdal Katan, it's not going to be subject to binyan stir. So this is the Shita of the Ran. The Ran holds that we're machmir by binyan and stira b'kelim if it's going to be an OL gadol. Okay. Now here I'm going to give you the bottom line before the cheshbon. Okay? Comes along the Mishnah Berurah. And the Mishnah Berurah, we're going to see in the Magen Avraham and spelled out by Levushei Srad. And he says the correct way to read the Rama is as follows. As we saw in the parentheses, the Rama is adding a Trumas Hadeshen, which is based on the Ran. Nevertheless, this is not a Kula, but rather this is a Chumra. And the way to read the Rama is as follows. The Mechaber says that the only time a Mustaki is going to be Mutter is... The only time it's Mutter to break the Kli is if it's a Mustaki. Adds the Rama, another condition. She'ena Machzekes Arboimsa. It has to be both a Mustaki as well as something that's not large. It will be something that's large, so then in such a case it will be subject to the Isser. Why? So says the Magen Avraham Yishmak. The Magen Avraham says there are two shailas that you often have to ask when you're talking about stira. Someone just asked me for this Shabbos, they're making a bar mitzvah. What about gazebos? Many shailas come up, and as they want to put something up for the against the sun. So there are many, many different permutations that could come up with the shailas of bonin. So in this case, we'll have the fact we have two shailas that we have. Number one is stira bekalim. And then, if it's 40 sa'a, so then in such a case, it's also a question of stira ba'ohel. So comes along the Rama, says the Magen Avraham, and he says, you solved the problem of binyan bekalim. But what happens if you have an ohel that's made out of mustaki material, right? Our ohels are quite flimsy. The gazebo is quite flimsy. But you have another problem. And the other problem is stira ba'ohel. And stira ba'ohel is going to be a separate problem. That's how the Magen Avraham is masbir this Ramah. Let's take a look. It's all mefurish in the Mishnah Berurah and in the Be'er Halacha. And then I just want to do it with you in the Magen Avraham and leave for to challenge you a little. I have it, on one thing of how they learn up the Magen Avraham. But let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Straightforward. Mishnah Berurah writes as follows. In Sifkat and Beit, she'en a machzekes, the ilu he machzekes mem saw havele ka'ol v'ispe mishum binyin v'stira afilu binyin v'stira kolduhu. In other words, once it's an ol, so then in such a case you've got a problem of stira, even if it's a mustaki. The Be'er Halacha defends this a little bit more. Dibar maskel she'en a machzekes. He writes, I am mishum gru the machzekes also afilu b'chavetz ru'ua kazeh. He claims that it points out that the Rajba is Mekel. And therefore the Be'er Halacha is Mekel Yidei Einu Yehudi. In other words, the Rajba is going to say that's not called an OL at all. And that makes a lot of sense. That you can definitely learn up the Sugya that way, as we just pointed out. Okay. The Magen Avraham, let's see inside that the Magen Avraham spells this out. Shane Machzekes, the Ibu Machzekes Arbom saw, how do they call the Kaf Pirish Aran? The Rashi, the Tosas Be'erevin, and that's what Rashi and Tosas Be'erevin say. Vafil Eina Gomor, Bini Gomor, also the Bini Gomor Shach Afil Bekli Katan. Vaharan Poledal Rashi, the Spirit Lady, that Tamishu Mikalkel. Oh, so it says Magen Avraham like this. Rashi said that everything's Mutter, that's Mikalkel. So the Ram disagrees, explains the Levush Esrat, that what the Magen Avraham is saying is exactly what we saw in the Mishnah Berurah. It was a lot easier to see in the Mishnah Berurah than to see in the Magen Avraham, because the Magen Avraham is very vague. But Rashi, the Mashmos of Rashi, argues the Magen Avraham is that it's going to be Mutter, because it's entirely called Mekalkel. And therefore comes along the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham says that that's what the Ran and the Trumas Hadeshen are arguing with, and they're saying no, the Heter is not based on Mekalkel in the Mishnah. The Heter is based on the idea of Ein Binyan V'Stira B'Kalim. But if you're going to have something that holds 40 Sa'ah, so then in such a case, of course, you're going to have the issue of Stira, but it's going to be Stira Sa'ol and not Stira Sa'kli. That is the presentation of the Magen Avraham and the Levush Esrat. I do leave off with the Tzarach Iyun Gadol on Levush Esrat's presentation. It seems to me it's also difficult in the Magen Avraham, although Rabbi Yosef thought maybe it's not difficult in the Magen Avraham. But I leave off with Tzarach Iyun Gadol. If you take a look, Rashi in Erevin does seem to learn that by Migdol Gadol there is a problem of Stira, And it would seem to me that what the Magen Avraham says works even within Shitas Rashi as well. And if you look at the Ran by us, the Ran that I just read, I just didn't read the last two lines. And the last two lines, he says that Rashi in Erevin learns like I just said. So what would be the Yishuv in Rashi? Vamev in Yavin. Rashi, when he said there's no such thing as Mekalkel, Rashi was talking about only Ein Binyan Mesir Bekel, like we were quoting from the Chassam Sofer, like Ramati said. But when we're talking about the din of Stira Ba'ol, of course even Rashi agrees. And that's Kaman Mefurish in the Ran. So I leave off with a Tzarech Yom Gadol, particularly on Revu Sheisrad, and even the Magen Avraham, because the Magen Avraham seems to say that Rashi got stuck as the Ran had presented, and that what the Trumas HaDeshen is doing is to be Mafkia from Shitas Rashi. According to the Chassam Sofer, you have an answer to that question. But Revu Sheisrad goes even further and says, in other words, according to the Chassam Sofer, you can answer the Magen Avraham, and you could say, no, that the Rav is not even disagreeing on Rashi. And Lulushay Srad is even more difficult, because Lulushay Srad says that according to Rashi, it would be mutter, knock down this Olel, and that Rashi did not say in Erevin. And even it's no contradiction to Rashi Shita of Eim Mekalkel, if you learn, like at Sam Sefer, that he was only saying it in Binyan, Vistira Bekelem, Gishmak. Okay, so this is the psak of how we have in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Of course, this brings us to the problem of how would it be then mutter to open a can on Shabbos. In other words, if we say that there's a problem of Stira B'Kelim, which we have, and you need to have only a mustaki, that's going to be mutter. So, what is the heter of opening a can on Shabbos? So, the Pesach is going to be Sivches in our Sinan. The Pesach is how do you explain the halacha of Chayslas. This we saw was a Tosefta, we saw last week, that there were Mine Kalin. It seems from the Prima Gadim that we're going to see shortly that this was a woven type of palm leaf that was used to hold the dates. By the way, it works out very well. They did it under one tree. You pick up the leaves, you pick up the dates. They were very, very efficient. They weaved it very, very simply, like those kids who know how to make the kosher holes in a second. I have no idea how they do it. But the same thing, just like the kids learn how to do it, they would probably do it very quickly. They weave together the leaves, drop together the dates in Zehu. Okay. So now, they would weave in clothes. The Prima Gadim claims that the reason they did it is they packed it tightly. It helped it ripen. It helped the dates ripen. So now it's packed closed, and now you want to open on Shabbos. Zok de'elig in the chaber sivches. Choyslo'y shel tmarim u'y groigris. Im ha'kisui kosher b'chevel. Matim v'soysu sharshus ha'chevel. V'chotech ha'filu v'saki. So if it's tied with a knot, you're allowed to open it. Right, we should discuss it when we do kosher. But filu gufan shel chayslus, that's more relevant to our topic. Even the chayslus itself is mutter. Shekol zek to my shayver egoizim my shkeden. It's as if you're opening up the klipa. See, here at both sides, we're going to have four understandings in the Afroinim. I didn't put this on your on the Maror Mekomos. I found an updated outline I didn't give you. If you take a look in the outline, we break it down into four different mahalchim in the Achronim of how to understand the din of Shviras Chosles. And how you understand the din of Shviras Chosles is going to might affect the problem of opening cans and binyan and stira b'kei. Okay. So comes along the Prima Gadim in Shin Yudal Yugimel, and he doesn't give us almost anything. The Prima Gadim learns the heter in a very limited way. Zok the Heilige Prima Gadin, the Ramasko Shoshoiver, Ayin Pirush Rashi, Shabbos Tafkuv Menvav, Chaisleis Tamar Mroin, the Spashel Hatam, Daidei Kach Mispashel, what I mentioned in the name Prima Gadin, he was basing on Rashi, that they would put them in these palm leaves in order for them to ripen. The Lo Asuyin Lebeis Kibul, you didn't use it to turn into a cleave, just to help them ripe. Have a Keshomer HaPri. And it's considered a Shomer HaPri. In other words, it was literally there to protect the tree in order to expedite it in ripening. Halav achi asur. And otherwise, it's going to be asur. So the only time you have the heter is if you have a klipa relationship that we've spoken about before. The Mechaber said it's like an egos. So the Talmidim asked, what's the makar for this? Good question. So the first step to the answer to that question is that the Prima Gautam says that if the makar is the Gemara itself, that the Gemara says that it was there to help it ripen. But once it has a bait, you do it not to help it ripen, but you want it as a kli, so then in such a case, it's going to be a problem. That is the shita of the Esho Avram. Ramesha quotes this Prima Gautam, and Ramesha is more makel. Comes along Ramesha in that tshuva. That tshuva is a seminal tshuva. There are a few tshuvas in Hilchos Shabbos where Ramesha goes on, as I explained to you in the past, that Ramesha's earlier tshuvas are much more fascinating than his later tshuvas. So you have a few of those in Erevin, where Ramesha basically takes apart all of the Erevin halacha l'maisa from his point of view in like just two or three tshuvas, touches on everything in Hilchos Erevin. So in that you have in Chelek Aleph and Aruch Chaim, and you also have in Chelek Aleph and Aruch Chaim, Ramesha touches on everything, his point of view, again, a very unique point of view, but his point of view in regards to opening and closing kelis. So last time we spoke about the sugar packets, so now it's the same tshuva, where Ramesha also talks about the opening of cans. And he rips through the Rishon. Again, Ramesha has a very unique way of looking at it. Did I tell you, I don't know if I told you this, if I told you, stop me, that the first time, I was zoked up to be there the first time, right when the Washington Heights Erev went up, the first time it was put up, so Rav Schechter gave us a tour of the Erev, and he explained how the Erev worked, and I waited until afterwards, I didn't really put out everybody else, but I asked him that Chura or Moshe would not allow for such an Erev. But Moshe has a tremendous finish where Moshe holds, there's something called Rishus HaRavim De'ir. The whole ear becomes a Rishus HaRabim. Part of the Rishus is a Rishus HaRabim, and the whole ear becomes a Rishus HaRabim. So it was, so I asked him, said that privately, and he said to me, yeah, Ramesha has something. And I said, could you explain to me this Ramesha? So I said it over to him. He said, yeah, I don't understand it. Can you explain to me again? So this went on like for three or four times. He asked me to say it over and over again. He said, yeah, that's what he writes. He says, but I don't understand what he means, and the Chazanish makes a lot more sense. The Chazanish from Erevin makes a lot more sense than Ramesha. In other words, the reason I'm telling you this is because there's no question that Ramesha is in his koach of Pesach and koach HaChidush. Ramesha almost always has a unique mahalach in the sugya, and boom, Yikov HaChidush HaSahar. And that's how Ramesh is not afraid to paskin on how he learned up the sugya, even if it's not the standard way of learning up the sugya. So in a much smaller way than in the case of Erevin, maybe one day we could discuss the Erevin case, but in a smaller way, Ramesh does the same thing here with the Prima Gadim. Ramesh over here in Anaf Tes, in Kuf Chaf Beis Anaf Tes, Ramesh says like this. He says he just doesn't think the Prima Gadim's limitation is necessary. And he has a technical question. I underlined it in the booklet. He says, "Hu tamu amod da b'shulchan aruch nakat tamar megrogeros b'chada machta v'atarvayi masik akam shu kemosh shover egozin." It doesn't say just the dates; it says also dates and figs. So, wait a second. If we're talking about different types of fruits, so obviously the palm branches do one thing in terms of the ripening for one, and the other for something else. And therefore, Ramesha says, it's not true. It's not true that it doesn't serve as a base kibble at all. He says it is a base kibble for it. However, since they are used simply to hold the Dvarim and Grogoros, they're considered like a klipa. The relationship is like a klipa. And therefore, it's not considered a kli for Hilchos Shabbos. It's not going to be considered a kli in terms of breaking it. So Ramesha then, Yikov HaChidush HaSahar, Ramesha says as follows, if the item that is holding the food is simply there as a klipa to protect it, then in such a case it's going to be mutter. What Ramesha was pointing out is the Prima Gadim was much more limited. The Prima Gadim never said that for everything that that is just a klipa that's going to work. He said, when there is a unique relationship where there, you don't want it as a base kibul at all, you just want it to be mevashel, so then it's not considered a klipa. Ramesha says that if you're using it just as a klipa that you're going to get rid of, so then in such a case it's going to be mutter. And essentially, Ramesha comes to a similar conclusion to what we had said in regards to the sugar packets. Take a look over there. The Ramesha says that mi'ikr didina, that would be mutter to break because it's considered a klipa. It's considered a klipa, then it's going to be mutter. You know what? We have it in the Ramesha in front of us, the second column. And certainly if you destroy it, like the sardines, etc., it's going to be mutter. Then Ramesha says, but that's only if everybody throws away the cans. But if people use it afterwards, so then in such a case, then that's going to be a problem. But particularly out, a lot of our cans, let's say the cans of, I'm choosing a particular example intentionally, take a small can of tomato, not ketchup, what's the other thing, tomato sauce?
Paste,
tomato paste. So people, they open it up, they pour it out, then they throw out the can. There are other things that people are more likely to use over time. But there's some things that people generally throw out, so that would be Ramesha's heter. Good, okay. So this is mahalath number two of the din of Shoiver, and that's why you're not going to have the problem of Stiras Kalim. The reason why you're not going to have the problem of Stiras Kalim is because even though we hold that there's something called Stiras Kalim, but this is not subject to Sira B'Kalim. Yes, Sorel.
According to Moshe, is there an, I didn't understand fully, is there an objective, sociological tendency to throw out a can? Those kind of cans you cannot open on Shabbos? Or is it subjective, meaning I generally keep my baby corn in my cans for a couple days, and therefore, I can't open that on Shabbos? Or is it that this coming Shabbos, I need to throw out the can when I'm done?
Right. Ramosha was mechalik between the Medina. The Aval Kam Efezel Rak Ish Yidua Shabineya Medina Zarkinosam Aval Miesh Bnei Adam Shemishtamshim Behem Leizet Dvar Macherim Leke Heter Zeh. So Ramesha seems to say it's not going to be subjective; it's going to be dependent on what is normal Derech HaMedina.
Dvar Macherim means like other storage, or even for that.
Right. Item. So, for example,
what about leftovers of that item? That would be Dvar Macherim or no?
Oh,
I think that's what I was talking.
I'm asking like I don't understand. Right.
So let me, and then I'll get to your question. I think there's going to be a buckle daito over here. In other words, yes, it is true that there is. If you go to a car mechanic, there might be some car mechanic that stores his nails in the ketchup can. But it has to be something that's relatively common.
So do you think? Can you think of anything that people keep cans for? Meaning, halachalamaisa.
Definitely. Years ago, people held on to their glass cans. So that would be something. But anyhow, of course, opening that's not going to be a problem because it's
cans.
Right. So, but in terms of cans, it could be. Once upon a time, people really held on to even the metal cans. But I think the metal cans today are going to be mutter for that reason, even according to Ramosha. In regards to your question, I think the way it would work, Ramosha, is that it would be mutter as well. As long as you throw it out afterwards, after it's.
Even if you're going to have leftover of the item in there and keep the can in the fridge for a few days.
Right. Now, there are people who are machmir. I think, was it Rebelli mentioned that Goldberg was always careful? Arya mentioned that there are some people who are machmir who try to empty the contents right away. We're going to see Shmir Shabbos Hilchos about that a little bit. But before we get to Shmir Shabbos Hilchos, there's a third track. The third track is the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish Kedarko B'Kodesh comes up with a brilliant Ha'ara. The Chazon Ish claims that closed metal cans, in Nun Aleph Yud Aleph, claims that closed metal cans are not considered Kalim at all. He says they're not considered Kalim at all. And therefore, there's no problem. Stiras Kli. Let's read his Lashon. He says, "The hacha merutzah ve'evro bebedil v'havei kichibur ikra klim Mishum stiras kli leka kan she'ein kan soser klav. Shehap psicha tikun v'sasun mikol tzad lav kliyu. Ukishul osalo pesach nasa kli. Only when you make a pesach do you make a kli. So the Chazon Ish has a brilliant aura. If you're going to take something that's not a kli, empty its contents and toss it out, so then in such a case you didn't do stira b'kelim. If, however, you make a pesach so then you'll do asiyas ha-pesach. Then the problem would be that you're doing asiyas ha-pesach on Shabbos. So that is the approach of the Chazon Ish. Now, ultimately, the Chazon Ish actually, his vart becomes a chumrah. Because the Chazon Ish says he's not sure that you don't have to be choshesh for asiyas ha-pesach. In other words, he says it could very well be that people open in a way that's nice for them to be able to get out the food. So he says that in such a case, amnam, I actually underlined it in the booklet, yesh lesa mishum zer dumli yichayim l'shem pesach, mishum zem mukilah bebeitza b'mustaki. Oh, so he says, that's the heter mustaki. Mustaki, we're not choshesh that you're going to make a pesach yof, as I said before. The esher, the af v'dayt l'zarko, ein mechashmin in kamenas, v'ol mutzim heter shvira, el b'yesh l'chavis pesach. Av geshem chol v'fnim v'sasim kol tzad, kol she'osel pesach choshev binyin. He says, maybe even if you intend to throw it out, Ramesha, at the end. But since you make it with a Pesach, so then in such a case, it's going to be a problem. So the Chazon Ish is a limited heter. Chazon Ish, on the one hand, solved the problem with Stira B'Kelim. On the other hand, he's concerned about a Pesach. So, if there's room to argue that removing the top of a can, simply using a can opener and removing the entire top of the metal can, is not considered making a Pesach, so then in such a case, then maybe the Chazon Ish would say that it's mutter. But if you say that that's called making a Pesach, then according to the Chazon Ish, then that would be even a problem. Okay. Rav Nevinzal has a, Kedarka B'Kodesh has a question in Taharos on the Chazon Ish. Take a look over there. It's in the booklet. Rav Nevinzal has an interesting give and take with the Chazon Ish about Taharos. There's quite a few. Yes.
Just to clarify, is there anything that the Chazon Ish is saying the bona problem is building a Pesach, or the bona problem is that once there's a Pesach, then the, what's holding the can itself becomes a kli?
It's maybe neither of the two that you said. The problem of Asiyas HaPesach, we're going to do Mirza Hashem next time, or the time after. And Asiyas HaPesach, we need to ask, is it an Isser of Bona itself? Is Isser Asiyas Pesach Bona, or is the Isser an Isser of Makir Papish? So, it seems to me that what the Chazon Ish is saying is, out Stira B'Kelim, it's not going to be a problem. The problem is Asiyas HaPesach. What's the Isser of Asiyas HaPesach that we haven't done yet, and that will itself be a Shaila of either Bona or Makir Papish? Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I was saying that I thought the Chazon Ish was saying that since the kli, if the can is closed on all sides, it's not defined as a kli.
Correct.
If it's open from one of the sides, the can itself becomes a kli.
Right, so he doesn't say it that way. He says it's slightly different. He says that you're going to have a problem if you intend to do a Pesach. It seems to me that what he's saying is that the Isser is the Isser of Asiyas HaPesach. Because Manashah. Either you make a Pesach and you've done the Yisr, and that you could explain either as Makir Papish or Bona, or you haven't done a Pesach, and then therefore it's not going to be considered as if you've made a Kli. In other words, the only time it will be considered because if you have made a Pesach, then all you're doing is emptying out the contents. That's what it seems to me for the Chazon Ish. The fourth Mahalach is the Mahalach of Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, and that is in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, in the old edition, Perek Tes Os Yud, where Rav Shlomo Zalman says, it's interesting that the other poskim did not take this mahalach. The Rav Shlomo Zalman says, this is the heter mustaki. In other words, Rav Shlomo Zalman says like this, mustaki is not something that is defined by its material. It's defined by its spirit. In other words, what do I mean by that? A mustaki is something that has been a worn-down barrel that people throw out. It's a worn-down barrel to throw out. Now, what happens if you have a piece of metal that is fantastic. They would use it in a Harley Davidson. But that piece of metal, they throw out after they use it. People throw out the metal. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's also mustiki. Mustiki, again, is not defined by its material. Mustiki is whether it's something that's chashuv that's going to be reused. And therefore, there's no problem of stira bekalim when it comes to a mustiki as well. Based on this, you've solved the problem of that we're not afraid that a person's going to make a Pesach Yofeh by a mustiki. And Rav Shlomo Zalman claimed that in such a case, we're also not afraid for Stira Bekalim. Now, when it comes to mustiki, you're solving both issues. There were some who questioned Rav Shlomo Zalman on that, but that is Rav Shlomo Zalman's Mahalach. Rav Shlomo Zalman's Mahalach is really, in many ways, a Derech HaMelech in the Sugya, and that is that what emerges is that you don't have to get involved, even if the Prima Gadim was right, that when it comes to Choslos is only a particular and unique case, that's not a Klipa, but you could argue that Mustiki takes care of both the problems of the Chashash of Asiyas Pesach Yofet, as well as the Chashash of Stira B'Kalim. There were many who challenged Rav Shlomo Zalman on both accounts. You could take a look at Sefer Binyan Shabbos, but it's a beautiful pshat, and that could very well be the hetter that we have in terms of opening kalim. Finally, in regards to the question of the hetter of making a what's the basis of the hetter of choslos and the idea of klipa? So I found a fascinating quote from the Or Litzion. The Or Litzion points out that the hetter of choslos of tamarim is a yisod in taharis, like we alluded to last time. And that is, there is a mishnah in Kalin Perik Tezayin Mishnah Hey that speaks of chuto shel hutzin. If you have leaves of hutzin, eni yochel lito mashe besochai chikre'enu, then in such a case, it's going to be tahar. Well, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis explains that the reason why it's going to be tahar is that since you're going to throw it out, in such a case, it doesn't have a din kli. So this yisod works well both for Rav Moshe's Havana as well as Rav Shlomo Zalman's Havana. And that is that we see that the din of choslos, an idea of having a klipa, where something is not going to be reused, it doesn't have a din kli. We see that in Taharas, and that would work well with Rav Moshe's idea to understand the din of choslos as simply being a klipa. It's not going to be something that's just unique to the case of Tmarin, as Rav Moshe had argued against the Prima Gadim. It will apply to something that even is a base kibbutz, but if it's going to be a base kibbutz, if it's a base kibbutz that's only intended to protect the item, then that and such and has a unique relationship with it, so that's going to be the parallel in the Shulchan Aruch to Shover Egozin, which as well would be also the idea to say that anything that's disposed is not looked at as a kli. It might be similar to the Din of Mustiki, as Rav Shlomo Zalman had explained. Okay, Tam V'Nishlam. This Bisiyata Dishmaya is the Hakdama to be in Stir V'Kalim, as well as the opening words of the Shulchan Aruch, and an application in terms of Stira B'Kalim, in terms of cans. What we have to do next is the Sugya of Pesach Yofeh and other issues in terms of Binyan and Stira B'Kalim, and then the Siyata Mishnah will keep on marching on. Yeah, Matthew, what was your question?
So Rav, I was just wondering, in terms of Rav Shlomo Zalman, why is he not afraid of Pesach Yofeh by Kalim?
He said by Mustiki, we see that the Rishonim say that you're not afraid he's going to make a Pesach Yofeh. Because he's going to throw it out, all he wants to do is access the food. So once that's what he wants to do, then in such a case, it should be mutter. Shikar.